Let's move on to the next case, which is 414.
Consider proposal of the City of Portland Water Bureau for historic demolition review and the Bureau of Development Services staff and Portland Historic Landmarks Commission recommendation for approval for the demolition of the 1894 Reservoir Number 3, 1894 Reservoir Number 4, and the 1946 Weir Building, all contributing resources in the Washington Park Historic District at 2403 Southwest Jefferson Street, LU14-249689DM.
Okay, thank you very much. So again, once again, I want to make sure that we check with council members to see if anyone has any ex parte contacts or potential conflicts of interest to disclose.
Mayor, a reporter earlier asked me what this hearing was about, and I said it was a land use type proceeding, but I could not discuss anything further, and I have no conflicts to disclose.
Anyone else?
I met with Water Bureau staff before they submitted their application to discuss the design elements, but not since.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for council members about those disclosures? Okay. So this is a quasi-judicial land use hearing. We will begin with a staff report, followed by proposals from the applicant, right? Have I got that right? Yes. And then supporters of the applicant will be given time to testify, and then if there is an opponent or a principal opponent, they'll be given time to present their case, and supporters of the principal opponent or supporters of the opponents given time to testify individually. There'll be council discussion and potentially a tentative decision today. So, the attorney, any additional points that you want to cover?
I do. I have a few opening remarks. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. Testimony will be heard as follows. We will begin with a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 10 minutes to address the council. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have 5 additional minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing and deliberate. The council may vote today. If the vote is a tentative one, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote. If the council takes a final vote on the findings and recommendations today, that will conclude the matter before council. I'd like to talk about several guidelines for those who will be addressing the council today. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the record should be given to the council clerk after you testify. Similarly, the original or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony, including any presentation materials, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. Testimony must be directed to approval criteria. Any testimony, arguments, and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review, or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. You must raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue. If you don't, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Finally, I'd like to note that any party made today prior to the conclusion of the hearing ask that the hearing be continued or that the record be held open for additional evidence, testimony, or argument. And that's all for me for now.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Fritz, do you have any opening comments before we turn it over to Ms. Adam?
Thank you, Mayor. So, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being here. We're here to discuss and consider a City of Portland Type 4 land use application for demolition review to remove the Washington Park reservoirs. This review considers the merits of the proposed replacement development as part of the approval criteria. However, approval of this application only approves the demolition of the three historic structures. A separate Type 3 land use review must be approved after this one, if it is approved, for the replacement development prior to issuance of a development permit. We know that many Portlanders are very unhappy with the LCT rule. I happen to be one of them. We are not here to discuss the merits of the LC2 rule, which is a federal mandate that has been given to the City of Portland, which I fought for a long time, and which the Council has directed the Water Bureau to comply with. That's not a factor in whether the approval criteria are met in this case. We are only looking at Washington Park today. That is the only site under consideration. So the decision before Council this afternoon is whether the specific Washington Park proposal presented in the land use application satisfies the relevant demolition review criteria. And as you've heard from the city attorney, please direct your testimony to the approval criteria for this application, as that is all that we are allowed to consider in making our decision. I'll turn it over to staff Hillary Adam from the Bureau of Development Services.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hillary Adam, BDS. As you said, this is a demolition review, LU 14249689.
Your voice is a little bit hilly.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to move the mic a little closer so you're comfortable.
And slide that whole thing closer if you want.
Oh, does it? Okay.
The big box. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is an outline of the Type 4 demolition review process. May 2014, the Portland Water Bureau had a pre-application conference on this proposal and the follow-up proposals, or the follow-up applications, which would be a conditional use review, a historic resource review, and an environmental review. They had one voluntary briefing and three voluntary design advice hearings with the Historic Landmarks Commission. We issued public notice of the Historic Landmarks Commission meeting and the City Council hearing, and we posted the site for both dates. We had the Historic Landmarks Commission meeting March 23rd. That was advisory, and I prepared a staff recommendation to City Council, which the Commission reviewed and provided advice on. They have also written letters, which have been forwarded to you. So now we're at the City Council hearing, and just as a reminder, as Commissioner Fritz stated, a demolition permit will not be issued until a permit is issued for the replacement proposal, which is to be reviewed under a separate Type 3 land use application. So we have two precedents for Type 4 review. In 2010, City Council reviewed demolition of the Kiernan Building, also known as the Dirty Duck Tavern, and in that situation, Council approved the demolition because they found that the proposed replacement facility, a soup kitchen and low-income housing and other services, was the highest and best use of that site. So they found that, on balance, the approval criteria for demolition were met. Last December, we reviewed proposed demolition of the Buck Prager Building in the Alphabet Historic District. That was a three-story former hospital building that was proposed to be demolished and replaced with a 4 to 6 story apartment building. In that situation, Council denied the application because they found that there was no significant public benefit to compensate for the loss of the historic resource. So the approval criteria for the purpose of a demolition review is to protect resources that have been classified as contributing in a historic district, and also recognizes that historic resources are irreplaceable assets that preserve our heritage, beautify the city, enhance civic identity, and promote economic vitality. And the demolition review approval criteria are one of the following. One, denial of a demolition permit would effectively deprive the owner of all reasonable economic use of the site, or demolition of the resource has been evaluated against and on balance has been found supportive of the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan and any relevant area plans. The evaluation may consider factors such as the merits of demolition, the merits of development that could replace the demolished resource, either as specifically proposed for the site or as allowed under the existing zoning. the effect demolition of the resources would have on the area's desired character, the effect that redevelopment on the site would have on the area's desired character, the merits of preserving the resource, taking into consideration the purpose described in the previous slide, and any proposed mitigation for the demolition. And in this case, the applicable plans include comprehensive plan goals and policies, scenic resources protection plan, Washington Park Master Plan, and the Washington Park Reservoir's Historic District National Register nomination. Here is a zoning map of the site. For posting purposes, we posted the entire site outlined in red, but the project area is to the northeast of the site in that circle. It's primarily zoned open space, and there are environmental conservation, environmental protection, and scenic resource overlay zones. And again, it is the Washington Park Reservoir's Historic District, which is sort of dashed outline where it says project area. Here's an aerial view of the district over on the left side, just in context with the city. Here's a closer view of the district. So we are here to discuss demolition of three contributing resources. They include Reservoir 3, Reservoir 4, and the Ware Building, which is located just east of the gatehouse at Reservoir 3. Reservoirs 3 and 4 were constructed in 1894, and the Ware Building was constructed in 1946, and they were listed in the National Register under criteria A and C, which is association with events that made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history and embodiment of the distinctive characteristics of a type period or method of construction. Here's some site photos just to get a sense of the area. On the right there, that is Reservoir 4 looking north to the dam at Reservoir 3. And on the left is a view of the hillside just west of Reservoir 4 that was discussed in the staff report extensively. And then below that is a view across Reservoir 4 looking east. On the upper left, that is a picture of the pump house 1. Below that, Reservoir 3, and then on the right, Gatehouse 3 and Dam 3, and then also one of the urns that is on the site. Pump House 1, Gatehouse 3, Dam 3, and the urns are proposed for preservation activities. This shows the extent of the demolition that we're talking about. The square is the Ware Building, and then the red outline shows the extent of the demolition. It would be all of Reservoir 3 basin, all of Reservoir 4 basin, and then the red lines show the extent of the parapet demolition. Part of the existing parapet walls at Reservoir 4 would remain. This is a picture of the proposed redevelopment. The Water Bureau is proposing to construct a new buried reservoir partially beneath cascading reflecting pool at Reservoir 3. That reflecting pool would occupy basically the existing footprint of Reservoir 3. Also, a smaller reflecting pool at Reservoir 4. Preservation work on dams, gatehouses, and other structures, and widening of paths, incorporation of new lighting, and introduction of an interpretation program. The applicant response to the approval criteria. The applicant requested that City Council weigh certain goals and policies more heavily, and those are public facilities and water service as provision of water, which is an essential public service. It's one of the principal roles of government. They also noted retaining the existing historic resources in place will leave water services downhill populations and the existing structures at risk due to landslide pressures and seismic inadequacy. Water Bureau has acknowledged that the preservation of the remaining structures, restoration of public access, and the provision of an interpretation program are necessary aspects of the redevelopment proposal in order to satisfy the demolition review approval criteria. So staff findings, apologize for the wordiness. This is a lengthy report, and this tries to distill it. I found that the historic significance of the Washington Park reservoirs and their impact on the development of our city is without question. However, the structural integrity of the reservoirs has been compromised since they were first constructed due to the excavation of the adjacent hillside, including the toe of the ancient landslide. The existing historic resources face continued landslide pressures, seismic vulnerability, and issues due to their age. In addition, EPA LT2 rule has charged all communities with open reservoirs to cover or treat their drinking water at the point of discharge. That is why they are proposing a solution now rather than at some point later. Preservation of the existing historic resources in place would not be practical, as the landslide would continue to exert its pressure on the reservoirs, resulting in continued deterioration. The proposed redevelopment includes significant restoration work for the structures and character-defining elements to remain, increased public access throughout the site, and an interpretation program that will tell the story of the Washington Park reservoirs and the Bull Run water system. And despite the loss of historic basins and the Ware building, on balance, I found that the proposal will have a significant public benefit. So in summary, I found that goals 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 11 were met. Goal 12 was met and also not met. But when considered against the other goals, I found that on balance, this goal was met. Goals 4, 5, and 10 I found were not applicable. So on balance, I feel that the comprehensive plan goals and policies are met. Historic Landmarks Commission voted 3-1 to support the staff recommendation. Commissioners in favor noted that Water Bureau has followed the advice they were given over the course of 4 meetings, and significant preservation work is proposed. One dissenting commissioner opposed.
Keep going, please. Okay.
Questioned the necessity of the project and believed that the Water Bureau did not meet its burden in demonstrating the approval criteria were met. Two members of the commission are here, one to speak on each side, so they can elaborate. As of yesterday, I received 37 items of testimony. Most of them were opposed, 5 in support, 6 noted concerns, mostly regarding traffic and construction. The nature of the opposition's comments mostly questioned the validity of Portland Water Bureau's argument that this was a necessary project, questioned the landslide and earthquake arguments, as well as the LT2 regulations. And the nature of the supporters' comments noted appreciation for the proposed redevelopment and the preservation work. So your options are to approve the proposal with conditions, or deny the proposal. That's it.
Thank you very much. Questions for Ms. Adam? Maybe more later. Thank you very much for now. Let's move on to the applicant's presentation.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. I'm Teresa Elliott, Principal Engineer with Portland Water Bureau, in charge of the Washington Park Project. Presenting with me today are Marilee Hanks, lead designer for the visible features. In the audience are several Water Bureau staff and consultants to help answer technical questions. We met with Historic Landmarks Commission several times, culminating with the hearing on March 30th with their recommendation to approve the land use application. In addition, you have a memo from me that addresses some of the issues that were raised during that hearing, and a detailed communication report summarizing the public outreach that we've done to date. Marilee will now highlight the application and give you a sense of what the development will look like, and we'll discuss the public outreach in more detail.
Thanks, Teresa. Good afternoon. So as we've heard, we're here today to talk about the Type 4 Historic Resource Demolition Review. My name is Mary Lee Hanks, landscape architect with AECOM. So we understand that the demolition decision will be based on the balancing of applicable policies of the Portland Comprehensive Plan. And as part of this balancing process, we also understand that you will consider the overall design proposal and its merits on the one hand and the demolition on the other. In order to support your review of this request, we will focus our presentation today on four main items. The first is the project driver, so why the project is necessary. The second is public involvement process, then the proposed actions related to the contributing resources within the historic district, and then finally how the project design is supportive of the comprehensive plan goals and policies. The Washington Park Historic Reservoir District is east of the Rose Garden and surrounded by the Arlington Heights and Goose Hollow neighborhoods. As another point of reference, Washington Park Reservoirs is about 250 feet higher in elevation than where we're sitting here today. Within the district, there are 11 contributing resources, which are all noted on the slides. I'm not going to go through those point by point. It would take a long time. But we're here today to request your support for the demolition of three contributing resources, including Reservoir 3 and 4 basins and the Weir Building. So we're proposing that the Reservoir 3 basin be removed to build a new buried drinking water reservoir, that the Reservoir 4 basin will be partially buried and removed in order to meet the stormwater and reservoir overflow requirements, and that the Weir Building will be removed in order to allow adequate protection of Gatehouse 3 during construction of the buried drinking water reservoir. The remaining contributing resources will all be preserved and rehabilitated to varying degrees. And I think it's also important here to note that we've received a letter from SHPO, a preliminary letter that states, and that's the State Historic Preservation Office, stating that the proposed demolition should not, doesn't look like it will impact the designation of the district as a historic district.
They opined that it would not.
Okay. It would not.
All right, thank you.
Now, the next section I'd like to review with you is the project drivers, and we have four of those that I'll discuss. The first is the historic landslide. So any design work that we undertake as part of this project needs to accommodate an active landslide. This landslide was triggered during the original construction during 1894, as you can see in the image there. This next slide is more of a diagram just to depict the overall size of that historic landslide. And as you can see, the toe of that landslide extends all the way into the existing Reservoir 3 and 4 basins. Our second project driver is seismic susceptibility. And now that regional seismicity is better understood, we know that the reservoirs threaten to collapse in a major earthquake. This timeline shows 8 and 9 magnitude earthquakes and their reoccurrence in the Cascadia subduction zone that go as far back as 2000 BC. And at a quick glance, you can see that we really need to be prepared for more.
Barely?
Yes?
I just note that Jill Lepore had a piece in the New Yorker recently that suggested that the Magna Carta really wasn't that big a deal.
Oh. Okay, I'll go ahead and take that off that slide next. Our third project driver is safe drinking water, and today's regulations require that we have safe drinking water quality. Our fourth driver is aging infrastructure. And many of the structures at the Washington Park Reservoir were built around 1894, as we've talked about, and those were designed to last anywhere from 75 to 100 years, and now they're about 120 years old. Now, this is an image of the Bull Run pipes when they were installed, and most of the pipes in the infrastructure at the Washington Park Reservoirs were built at that same time, and they are original. Now, I'm going to touch on the public involvement process, and this was set up just intended to give you a brief overview of that process, although we also have a larger document that describes it in more detail. This is our public involvement schedule. We initiated the process in early 2013 before we even started design. And each of the dots or the rectangle on the schedule indicate a point in time when we met with the various groups. Through this process, we received broad support for the project design proposal during those meetings. We've specifically received letters of support from the HLC, our sounding board, and the AIA Historic Resources Committee. I also wanted to mention that we have mailed more than 20,000 postcards about the project. We've sent 2,000 emails and placed more than 1,500 postings and flyers around the neighborhoods and areas in the park. Now, this section of our presentation focuses on our design proposal and is intended to help illustrate how our proposal supports the comprehensive plan goals and policies. The mission of the Portland Water Bureau is to ensure that the city has continuous, safe, and reliable drinking water. The design proposal includes a buried reservoir that is under, basically below that upper reflecting pool. And then the design proposal also includes the two reflecting pools in a similar location as the existing open water reservoirs. In addition, the proposal includes a lowland habitat and grassy stormwater swale area adjacent to that lower reflecting pool. And what you can't quite tell from this image, but there is quite a lot of land mass regrading that we're doing at the lower reservoir in order to help mitigate that slide that continues to move. In the following series of slides, I'm going to share a number of photos of the site in their current condition. I'm going to follow those up with a series of simulations of the design proposal. So this photo is of Gatehouse 3 and the Weir Building, which was built in 1946, much later than the original construction. We're proposing that the Weir Building be demolished in order to protect Gatehouse 3, which sits behind it during that construction. Now, this is a simulation taken from a similar point of view and shows what that space would look like with the Weir Building demolished. A new buried drinking water reservoir will be built underneath the upper portion of that reflecting pool that you see there, and it roughly, the form of it, follows the curvature of the upper cascade. And we want to keep it at that higher level. By keeping it at the current operation level for the drinking water reservoir, we're able to continue to make sure that we can use the energy-efficient, gravity-fed water storage and distribution system that's in place at Washington Park Reservoirs right now. Now, this is an existing view from the Grand Stairway. And this is a visual simulation looking at that same point, standing from that same spot. Through our extensive public involvement process, we have a design proposal for a reflecting pool that will look very similar to the existing condition, but that will now be much more accessible to the public since the water will no longer be drinking water. Now, this is an existing photo looking down at Reservoir 4 from standing at the edge of Dam 3. In this simulation, you'll notice the restored and regraded hillside that's on the right side of that image and extends all the way into the existing Reservoir 4 basin. At this location, we have accommodated several functional requirements for the facility, including the reservoir overflow and then also the stormwater components required for the project. Based on the historic landmarks feedback, we've also included a smaller reflecting pool and dam and a small reflecting pool adjacent to those features next to the dam and the gatehouse in order to better relate future conditions to the historic conditions and the current conditions. And then finally, I wanted to share with you this simulation just to demonstrate what the proposal would look like at dusk. And this is a view that very few people have seen since the 1970s due to the access restriction related to water supply. The historic light poles that you see in this image will be rehabilitated and relit, and new lighting will be added at the pump station and the dam, and both dams, to accentuate the rehabilitated historic resources that are really just a beautiful Romanesque architecture. Now, the final section, I wanted to wrap up our presentation with a summary of why the demolition of the two reservoir basins and the Weir Building, when considered in context with the design proposal, support the applicable comprehensive plan goals and policies. BDS staff and the Portland Water Bureau agree on the applicable comprehensive plan goals and policies that must be considered. Our application for historic demolition review covers these in great detail, but I would like to specifically highlight how the design proposal is supportive of three of those goals, and those are the ones that were mentioned before that we feel should be weighed more heavily. Goal 3, neighborhoods, is the first. The design concept resulted from an extensive public engagement process that included neighborhood association representatives. Neighbors will now have the benefit from restored access to the new reflecting pools and restored historic structures.
I'll allow you some additional time, but I'll do the same for a principal opponent if there is one.
Very
so
good.
Try to wrap up, though, please.
Goal 11E is the water service. The provision of a safe and reliable drinking water system is an essential city service. And then finally, goal number 12, urban design. The design concept provides for accessible, well-designed reflecting pools and historic rehabilitation of reservoir dams, gatehouses, parapet walls, wrought iron fencing, and the lampposts. The design concept incorporates the results of three Historic Landmarks Commission design advice reviews, the Oregon chapter of the American Institute of Architects Historic Resource Committee. Removal of the Weir Building will open views up of that restored, rehabilitated Gatehouse 3. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? The applicant team. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now begin the public testimony phase and allow individuals who are here to speak in favor of the application and who've signed up or who do while we're underway here to speak. Let me lay down some ground rules for public testimony for those of you that may not have been here before. This is a room where everyone gets heard and no one gets intimidated. So we ask that we maintain decorum in this chamber at all times. If you agree with someone, you're certainly free to give them a thumbs up or a wave of the hand, but we ask that people not make vocal demonstrations in favor or against their fellow citizens' opinions in this room. Secondly, this is a slightly more formal proceeding than some of what we do in this chamber because we're making a decision under state law, and it's very prescribed how quasi-judicial land use cases are conducted. So we never allow disruptions in this chamber, and if there are any in this case, we'll adjourn immediately because we're not going to break state law in order for someone to conduct any sort of violation of those rules. If you violate those rules, you'll be escorted out of the chamber. So that's how it works. We look forward to a complete and civil discussion, and let's turn it over to our council clerk for the first three people that want to speak in favor of the application.
A total of seven supporters. The first three, please come on up, are Jessica Engman, Harris Matarazzo, and Terry Davis.
Good afternoon. Come on up.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Engman. I'm the vice chair of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission, and with me today is Commissioner Harris Matarazzo. I wanted to be here in person to deliver our commission's recommendation to you and to be a resource for any questions that you might have. As you've already heard, we voted 3-1 in March to recommend approval of this. The majority of commissioners felt that the staff report was right on and that on balance, the structural and site improvements, the restoration of the resources remaining, the increased public access were all tremendous public benefits, and therefore that the application was worthy of approval. Certainly, you know from when we've been here before that we take demolition requests very seriously at the Landmarks Commission, given that our charter and mission is to protect Portland's historic resources. But you've also heard that we've had quite a lengthy public process. We've heard from the applicant on numerous occasions. And I will say that certainly at least from the majority of commissioners who are recommending approval, we've felt that the applicant has been very much responsive to our feedback. Early on, we stated that this site really needed a holistic approach, and that in order for us to get comfortable with the demolition, that we were going to need to see mitigation, that we were going to need to see the remaining historic resources celebrated and really cared for. And I think that they've very much responded to those requests with the public access, the restoration of the lighting, the fencing, the interpretation. So I think those are sort of the highlights. You've heard about our process. And again, the majority of commissioners were in favor. Harris is here to represent the dissenting opinion, and he's going to share some of his thoughts.
So before he comes on,
yep.
We have your letter of April 13th,
yes,
2015. So does that summarize all the key points that you want us to be aware of?
It certainly does.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Before you leave, or before you turn it over to Harris, how much discussion did you have about any scenario in which the Weir Building was preserved instead of demolished? I mean, I understand the reservoir part of it but I'm talking about the buildings
sure.
now.
Sure. That certainly came up. The way the discussion evolved, we understood that the removal of that resource was going to be critical to the access to be able to do the improvements to the site. The Weir building, while technically contributing, I would say it is perhaps marginally so in terms that it does not have the level of historic character that the other outbuildings and such have on the site, and that we felt, again, based on the other enhancements, improvements, and restoration work, that if the Weir building needed to be removed in order for them to feasibly do this project, that we could get behind that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Commissioners. My name is Harris Matarazzo, and I appreciate the opportunity to address the City Council today. As Jessica mentioned, I am a commissioner on the Historic Landmarks Commission and was the only one of the four reviewing commissioners to oppose the applicant's request. The purpose of my attendance today really is to just fairly briefly summarize why I oppose the applicant's position, and to tell you that in my own words, as opposed to the written letter that went out dated the 13th. You should have before you a letter dated the 15th, which is longer than I anticipated initially, but one which sets forth my more detailed views. This is a somewhat difficult situation because as a commissioner, I don't see myself as an advocate so much as somebody who just needs to explain his position. And in that sense, it's a little bit different than I would be normally as a regular witness here. I would note initially that split decisions are pretty unusual for our, or at least they're not typical for our commission, and given this difference, if nothing else, I think ideally our testimony here today would help promote a discussion about the value of our historic resources and especially the needs of those that are publicly owned and maintained, as well as the action necessary for their ongoing protection. The issue before you, at least as I understand it, is the Portland Water Bureau, the applicant, whether or not it's met its burden to justify the demolition of the historic Washington Park Reservoirs 3 and 4, and is not, frankly, the consideration of what will replace them. I think that was made earlier, but a large part of, I think, what you're going to hear is about the beauty of the replacement. I'll agree, it's a very nice replacement, but it's really not to the heart of the matter, and that is, has the applicant met its burden? In my April 17th letter to the council, I described again why I believe the applicant should not prevail. The Bureau of Development Services has described the reservoirs as, without question, among the City of Portland's most significant historic resources. In my opinion, given that the applicant has the proven capacity to meet the water needs of our city without use of the site, that the reservoirs are among Portland's most historic resources, and that the proposal seeks to reinstall a vessel within a known and active landslide zone as well as an established seismic area, in my opinion, the applicant did not meet the burden to substantiate the need for demolition. I've often said commission hearings, and I truly believe that the most effective government is government that leads by example. And as a commissioner, it's difficult at times for me to rationalize supporting the demolition of a significant public resource while by city code we, as a commission, sometimes have to deny the historic homeowner's request for a minor exterior residential modification. In so doing, I think essentially we're setting a double standard, and it's implied, and that compromises the value of our public and privately held historic resources. I am aware of this of the holding this council made in the demolition review of the Kiernan building. It provides you with substantial discretion in establishing how to balance applicable comprehensive goals and policies when considering the demolition of a historic resource. As this council knows, although this standard is different from the one we used, it does not mean that review is completely subjective and without guidelines. It is a weighing process. Again, given that the historic resource is one of Portland's most significant, and for the reasons stated earlier, demolition could not be substantiated in my view. Instead, if needed, a more modern vessel could be constructed in a less problematic location. The existing resource could then be taken offline, restored as an aesthetic destination, and the bowl reduced in depth to only a few feet. Factually, the Kiernan building demolition review is distinguishable from the case now presented At that time, you considered the case. The Kiernan Building had been significantly modified over many years and had almost none of its historic character. It was also in substantial structural disrepair, having lost virtually all of its historic integrity. This is very different from the reservoirs under consideration today, which are essentially still fully functional. Finally, in the not-too-distant past, as I entered this building, I recall that City Hall faced possible replacement, and the obstacles cited as impediments to its continued functioning included seismic concerns as well as an obsolete and well-worn infrastructure. As I recall, at the time, at least one of your members, Gretchen Gaffori, assisted in spearheading an effort to restore this marvelous structure, which is also one of Portland's most significant historic resources. In later years, as a private citizen, Commissioner Gaffori gathered a number of us together to save the Simon Benson House, which is now a crown jewel at Portland State University. Until her involvement, the success of that project seemed impossible. Her spirit exemplified the best of who we are with a can-do determination, despite the odds that, frankly, I find very enviable. Her legacy will be long-lived in this building, Portland State, and within our city. Landmark's decisions are merely advisory, and the council is not bound by them. Although in the minority, I continue to believe that the applicant failed to meet its burden and respectfully disagree with my commission colleagues that demolition of one of Portland's most historic resources should be allowed under these circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to just thank you both for the huge amount of volunteer time that you dedicate to the city as members of the commission. It's a huge service, not often known or appreciated by everyone in the community, but we know and we appreciate it. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Terry Davis, and I work for Portland Parks and Recreation as the West Services Zone Manager. Briefly, in my role, I provide support and oversight of all of the developed parks, recreation facilities, and programs that are geographically located on the west side of the Willamette River. And I'm here today to talk about public process in relation to the Water Bureau's Washington Park Reservoir Project. Portland Parks and Recreation not only values but relies upon the participation, input, and feedback that we consistently receive from the public to ensure that the programs we offer, the parks we develop and maintain, and the facilities we operate are reflective of the communities that we serve. We view these public stakeholders as partners in our shared management and stewardship of our parks and facilities. As other bureaus, organizations, and agencies have assets that are located within our parks, we also work to ensure that any projects or development related to those assets not only meet parks goals, but also transparently and genuinely include those shared public stakeholders in providing guidance and input into these projects. I've been the representative for our bureau to the public process for this Water Bureau Reservoir project. This project to date has included extensive public process that closely aligns with our own bureau's goals for outreach and community involvement. The process has included stakeholder interviews, project briefings to neighborhood associations and coalitions, open house events, virtual open house options, tabling at community events, press releases, tours of the Washington Park reservoirs, informational mailers, web-based updates and blogs of the project, and 9 community sounding board meetings with time allocated for public input at each meeting. I participated as a member of the community sounding board, along with representatives of the surrounding neighborhood associations and coalitions, and a representative from the Historic Resources Committee. In these meetings, we represented our respective organizations, but we worked together to provide input into the development of the visible features design component of this project. I've participated on many such committees, and I can state that this process was very collaborative, respectful of differing views, and responsive to the input provided both by the sounding board and through public comment. As the process goes forward, a project manager from our bureau has been assigned to liaise between the Portland Parks and Recreation and the Water Bureau. I appreciate the high level of public involvement that the Water Bureau has taken, and I anticipate that this will continue going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for any of these folks? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay,
next three are Eric Nagel, Chris Kent, and Annie Mahoney.
Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Nagel. I was Arlington Heights, a neighborhood association's representative to the community sounding board that was convened by the Water Bureau, which included representatives from a number of the affected neighborhoods and other interests. We met for a number of sessions over the course of a year. I'd like to commend the Water Bureau for its really extraordinary and extensive public outreach effort. I think every effort was made by the Bureau to ensure that anyone with an interest in the project would be heard. I believe the Bureau staff and their design team listened to our concerns and that the final project design reflects those concerns. The sounding board, and there's a memo that I'll be providing that I think you may already have from the sounding board, supports the design in almost all respects. We like the Cascades concept for Reservoir 3, and we like the hybrid design for Reservoir 4, which will combine a reflecting pool with lowland wildlife habitat. I believe the design respects the historic character of the site. It will leave important historic structures intact while making the reservoir site a much more beautiful and welcoming place for Portlanders and visitors alike. The one reservation that I believe many of us on the sounding board had about the design concerned the new fence around Reservoir 3. Most of us agreed that it would mar the visual appeal of the site. There's no longer a need for a fence since it won't be a drinking water reservoir. It'll only be a foot deep. The Water Bureau cited safety concerns as the reason for the fence, but given how shallow the reflecting pool will be, that just doesn't seem justified. So the sounding board urges that if there must be a fence, it should at least be as low as possible. I want to say that as for the actual construction process, we do have a few suggestions. Arlington Heights does. Arlington Heights will be affected by this construction project more than any other neighborhood in the city. Heavy trucks will travel neighborhood streets every 4 to 5 minutes every day for years. This will be on top of the literally thousands of truck trips that will be generated
by... Eric, I have to stop you there because you have to stick with the design criteria, okay, not with what will be considered in the Type 3 review.
Okay, yeah. I understand. That's all I have then.
Okay. So you raised this issue of the fence during the Landmarks Commission, Landmarks Commission discussion as well. I know you did in the sounding board process, but
you know, honestly, Mayor, I don't recall whether we brought that up before the Landmarks Commission.
All right, thank you. Well, I'm glad you raised it here. Thank you.
There will certainly be an opportunity to discuss it again in the design project. This is the first I've heard of this. I'm wondering though if it's similar to the problem that we have in parks with the wading pools not being allowed anymore. There's a state regulation that we had to drain all the wading pools, so it's possible that they may have to have a fence.
Well, one question we had is why we have so many other pools around the city, like, for example, Keller Fountain,
right,
which have no fences around them.
Yeah, that doesn't have much of a pool at all, though it's more of a fountain than a pool.
No, it's a good question. And,
yeah, we're
and,
looking to
it. I'm glad you raised it. It may not be germane to the Landmarks review, but it might be to the ultimate design of the project if it goes forward. But
it seems like an unnecessary expense.
Yeah. Would you prefer none at all?
None at all, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you. Okay.
John, well, Aaron, thanks for the comments you made about the Water Bureau process. I know that Arlington Heights has not always been pleased with public process involving city efforts, and to call out a positive feature is just as important as holding our feet to the fire, so thank you for that.
Okay. I'd like to be next, please.
Good afternoon. Excuse me. My name is Annie Mahoney. I'm sorry, I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize for my voice. I am a licensed architect in Portland and practicing and work on historic preservation projects. I was part of the sounding board along with Mr. Kent, Mr. Nagel, and I am in support of the proposed work at Washington Parks Reservoir. As a member of the sounding board, my fellow board members and I met with the design team at public meetings 9 times over the course of design. I personally came to the board as a practicing architect with experience working on historic preservation projects. We did ask questions initially about the choice of eradicating the reservoirs altogether or whether there was another site, but our task was clearly to talk about the visible design features of the project. The overwhelming direction from the board was to preserve as much as possible of the existing features. We also requested that interpretive programming be included in the design to talk about the history of the reservoirs in Portland and water conservation. I believe the Portland Water Bureau and the design team have listened and responded to the board and public comments while balancing issues of cost and constructability and are meeting the applicable goals stated in the comprehensive plan, including but not limited to goal number 3, neighborhood. This will create a destination for those living in the neighborhood and the city at wide. Transportation, goal number 6. This will provide access to this area for people using wheelchairs and who are differently abled. Environment, given the landslide and seismic concerns, this is a matter of public safety. Removal of the basins is the responsible and right thing to do. Goal 9, citizen involvement. The team engaged stakeholders both local and citywide at public meetings and open houses. I personally represented the viewpoint of historic preservation. The design team listened and responded to us at every step. Goal 11, public facilities. It will increase public safety and enhance the park experience, providing a backdrop for a piece of Portland's history that is very important. Most importantly, goal 12, urban design. To visit Washington Park is to experience surprise and discovery. At every turn might be a hidden glen, a view of Mount Hood or the Rose Garden. Washington Park encompasses and provides many different types of experiences, except for a significant water feature. The reservoir project will provide a unique experience that has been unavailable for decades. If the Water Bureau is not allowed to proceed with this work, what will become of these unique and vital elements of our history? Without the reservoir work, there will be no impetus for any restoration of these important structures, and they will fall further into disrepair. An opportunity will be lost for the preservation of one of our greatest assets. Even though the demolition of any historic structure is not preferred and should be avoided, it shouldn't be avoided at all costs. On balance, it is affording the city an opportunity to create a safer utility, an amenity that is accessible to all citizens, and an enhanced resource for the history and culture of our city. This project will be a significant benefit to the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, council members. I'm Chris Kent. I'm a property and business owner in the Goose Hollow area, right downhill from a potential eruption of these reservoirs if this seismic event that everybody says is going to happen happens before we get on the ball and fix this problem. I was on the community sounding board with Annie and Eric, and you've heard a lot of comments about that. I'll just say flat out, I came to that board a little bit of a skeptic and a lot of a Grinch, thinking that something could be wired or jerry-rigged or whatever. I'm very confident that that process was very fair, one of the fairest I've ever seen. We, as Eric mentioned, we had different opinions on things. We had lots of input, lots of different concepts were thrown around. Eight members, nine meetings, a ton of community outreach. I'm confident that we all got our input into this design. And it was, aside from Eric's comments, a unanimous decision of all of these different people from different walks of life about what should be done up there. So that's a process comment. And I would say, too, that the next category is cost. Okay, I came to it really watching nickels and dimes because, candidly speaking, we've all seen fiascos of the Water Bureau before, and I was a little bit wondering whether this was another one in the making. But I'm confident, having looked at numbers all my life and being criticized by my friends of being too focused on numbers, that this is a good investment. The cost differential from putting something up there iconic versus just putting grass and mowing the grass is measured in terms of a few million dollars over the course of 150, 200 years or whatever the life expectancy is of the project. So I know you add up a few million here and a few million there and you got a lot of money. But over the next century and a half, or two centuries potentially, it's not a lot of money. The geotech issues, I think you've heard a lot about that. It's a landslide. We've got all these seismic issues. It's on this hill. This thing is going to crack sooner or later, and is going to be a cascade of water coming down off of Washington Park. So it needs to be fixed. The final thing that I would comment on is the design issue. again, I'm not artsy. I look at things more practically speaking. But, you know, if Washington, if Pioneer Place is Portland's living room, Washington Park is certainly its balcony. We have, this is a scene that is seen in countless photographs around the world from Washington Park at various angles with photographs and views to the city and Mount Hood. It gets a lot of traffic. It's a huge crossroad for tourism and just our identity. I think it's our chance to do something iconic that will last for a few generations in a very cost-effective manner, clean up a safety problem, and I would urge that the demolition be approved so we can get on with this and build something for the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Thank you all. Okay, next three.
That's all from the support list.
Okay, and now is there someone signed up as a principal opponent, or are there folks who are signed up in opposition? Is there an organization that opposes the project?
Did you guys have
Sounds
one?
Like not.
No.
So individual opponents, then, 3 minutes each.
How many, Carla?
We have 14 on the oppose.
Okay.
The first three, please come on up, are Mary Eng, Ben Pickering, and Scott Fernandez.
Good afternoon, Portland City Council. I'd like to refresh our memories collectively. If anyone was in the room last Wednesday, a week ago from last Wednesday, there was an activist called Jonah who went under the billing Charles Johnson. Evidently, he had borrowed a speaking slot, and he...
I'm sorry. We're here to talk about this hearing today, Mary. So you,
well,
let me interrupt you for a second. I won't use your time.
Okay.
This is a land use hearing.
Land use.
So
are you
than,
talking about radon?
No. Hang on. So
wheelbarrows.
Let me finish, please. This is important for others
Chuck
to know.
Chuck Schumer, New York.
Mary, let me finish.
EPA.
No, none of the above. Okay. So this is a historic.
Privatization.
Nope.
Washington Park.
Yes.
Roses.
No.
Water.
Would you let me finish?
Would you let me finish, sir?
No, I'm actually holding your time until I can give you instructions, because we can't break state law here, even if you
Absolutely.
Want to.
Absolutely. Okay, help me.
So here's the deal. You have to concentrate on the criteria that apply to a historic landmarks case, in this case, a demolition.
The flashy PDF.
That's all you get to talk about.
The flashy PDF.
The gorgeous,
luminous, reflective pool.
I'm going to let you start and hope that you heard me. You have to stick to the criteria and to this case.
The burden of proof has not been met. The concerns for human health are enormous. The elephant in the room is human health. We often have elephants in the room here, so we don't bring them up. What are the materials? Have they been thoroughly investigated? The materials that are containing this water, the issues with the Missoula floods, the runoff of radioactive water thousands of years ago into our watershed are not being met. We're not assessing the potential. Merkley said, you guys are throwing him out of the game, and you're just kind of, it's a runaway carriage, it's a fiefdom. And it looks like a backdoor to privatization, supposedly. And I have to say, like, as an artsy person, I find the PDF lovely. I think it's beautiful. It looks kind of Neo-Greco-Roman, it's kind of jazzy, shimmering, but I'm not convinced scientifically that this is the best option. And I'm really concerned about the landslides in the Pacific Northwest generally. I think those are valid concerns, and that the seismic irregularities in the buildings generally should be overhauled. But what I'm seeing with the water crisis on a large scale, the EPA appears to be a bureaucracy that has strayed from its original founding principles to protect the environment. And if this is about packing away more cash with your friends in wheelbarrows, like our famous little governor, it seems that we're not having any kind of vetting of what are the vested interests, what is the long-term 100-year future. 100 years from now, will somebody be sitting here saying, what were those petroleum Saltzman Petroleum, Hales, Coal Petroleum, Novick commissioners doing with our water?
Mary, thank you. Okay, same plan.
I didn't know what I was signing up that much for, but other than I just want to say is we have nothing to lose but the gang. I'm all for that. That's cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I'm Scott Fernandez. In 2004, the independent review panel reviewed the seismic and landslide issues and determined that they were a non-issue and voted at that time to retain the open reservoirs. EPA LT2 was a distinct part of this discussion, and I wish we could talk more about that, but I will limit it to the Washington Park landslides initially. The Washington Park landslides were stabilized in the early years after the reservoir construction started, and that photograph that we saw with the landslide goes back almost 120 years.